Hear that? That's the sound of another magical Aussie Christmas approaching at Westfield. We know everyone will celebrate this festive season differently. Maybe you go nuts buying way too many prezzies. Or love catching every festive flick that's out with an XL-sized popcorn. Or perhaps you adorn your tree with a prawn instead of a star. Whatever it is, Westfield are here to bring it to life because we know there's no Christmas like yours. Visit your local Westfield or shop online at Westfield Direct today. Now, putting aside the strange idea of having a prawn on your Christmas tree, this advert that was doing the rounds in December, it got me asking the question, how do we find meaning in the middle of all of this XL-sized popcorn and way too many prezzies and prawn on your Christmas tree? So we've titled our series this December, Common Sense for the Silly Season, because that's what actually some people call this time of year. They call it silly, and they mean busy, stressful, expensive. You buy presents for people that you hardly ever see. You have all of these nights out. You spend money in ways that you just normally wouldn't. Yesterday I was at the supermarket and I almost bought a chicken wrapped in bacon stuffed with something for $35. And then I went, no, what am I thinking of doing? You know, it's just what happens at this time of year. It's the silly season. With all that going on, how do we find meaning in the middle of it? Have you ever felt that? That there's got to be something more to this, a strong sense of something deeper at this time of year. Well, if that's you, if you have thought that, if you had those feelings before, and I'm sure we all have, then listen up. What is the meaning of Christmas? What is it about? Is it just something that we each make up for ourselves? Well, first of all, Christmas is about the Word. Let's have a look at one of these verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christmas is about the Word. This is another verse from the passage Amy read. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. So he's called the Son. Jesus is called the Son. Later on, Jesus will be called the King. But what's he called in these passages that I just read out? The Word. To get us ready to meet Jesus, John starts out his gospel by calling him the Word. That means the Word of God isn't a book. The Word of God is not written on a page. Later on, Christians will understand the Bible as the Word of God, yes. But before that, the Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. What is it? How do we understand that? Well, words are powerful things. So if I say to you, I really, really love you. Or, quick, let's get out of here. Or, I never ever want to see you again. That's powerful words, isn't it? If I say those kinds of things. And when I speak these words, it has the ability to affect somebody's life and to create a whole new situation for them and for me when you say these words. Jesus is just like that. He is the Word of God because he comes into God's world. He does what God wants. He puts the plans of God into action. He achieves everything that God desires. And then Jesus returns to God in heaven. And so Jesus is like the Word who has come out and gone back to God and done everything God wants. Jesus is the powerful Word. Jesus is just like that. But thing is, he's not just from God as a Word. The verse says he was God, doesn't it? Look at it there. Jesus was God in the very beginning. This is a very careful way of saying that Jesus is the exact same being as God, that Jesus is perfectly one with God. At the same time, he's separate to God. So that means he's in a relationship with God and he's different to God. At the same time, he is perfectly, truly God. And one with God. It's a very careful way of saying it. Later on, Jesus will say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So have a think about that. If you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the Father. If you're looking at what Jesus does, you're looking at what the Father does. If you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at God. If you're looking at what Jesus does, you're looking at what God does. If you ever have that feeling like there has got to be more to Christmas, there's a deeper something there. If you've ever had that kind of sneaking suspicion or that hunch, you are on the right track. You're exactly right. Because Christmas is showing us the Word has come. But what's the good of that? Let's be really honest. What is it? Who cares that the Word has come? What does that mean? Like, what do you get out of that the Word has come? Well, that's the second thing. So first of all, Christmas is about the Word. But secondly, that Christmas is about the Word become flesh. See, there's that verse again from John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is from heaven. Jesus is from the Father. And at the same time, Jesus is a real ordinary man. So he's a true, genuine human bloke. He's the kind of person that you would see at Eastlands. Actually, there's probably heaps of them there right now. Just doing the last, I've got 2 hours, you know, and getting the last minute things. He's the sort of person you'd see at Northgate. He's the sort of person you would see at Channel Court. Now, something of this is captured in Reg Mombassa's artwork called Australian Jesus. You know, Reg is the guy who does the Mambo T-shirts and all the artwork that goes on the Mambo. I asked a young person here the other day, do people still wear Mambo? And she said, oh, nah, not really. It's kind of a department store thing. So I think Mambo's not really a popular brand. But when I was growing up, that's what we would all wear. And he's a bit of an irreverent guy, Reg Mombassa. He's having a go. That means he's kind of teasing. But he's kind of captured something of this human side of Jesus. And here's his artwork. I'm not sure if this is going to, how well this will come up. Called The Miracle. Did you do that? Yeah, there we go. The Miracle of the Pies and the Beer. And this is called The Australian Jesus, The Miracle of the Pies and Beer. And it came to pass that Australian Jesus addressed a multitude of people on his tour of New South Wales. The day was long and hot, so he said to his assistants, "They are tired and hungry. Give ye them refreshment." And they said unto him, "We have but 5 pies and 2 cans of warm beer." So Australian Jesus cast his eye to heaven and began to hand out pies and beer, and all did eat until they were filled, and the beer was cold and it was good. Now, you know, he's taking the mickey, you know, he's teasing, that kind of thing. But I kind of like where he's headed with it, because he's saying Jesus could be among us, and if he were here, we would like him and we would listen to him and he would give us good things and we would want to go where he went and we would want to follow after him. Even though he's eternal God and he's the Lord of all, Jesus the Son is also like us in every way. Sleep, food, rest, family pressures, all of these sorts of things. He knows about it. He knows about it. The Word of God became a human, will remain that way forever. He could even die. He could even come to the end of his life. His heart could stop beating, and it did. His lungs could stop breathing, and they did. His eyes could become vacant, and they did. His body would go cold, could go cold, and they did. His spirit, he could even die. And for many of you, you will know that that's exactly what did happen. And he actually came to die as our representative. He came to die as one in our place. So here's what we're talking about. He's the eternal Word of God, and yet he's now also become a human and will remain that way forever. So what are we talking about today? Well, we've called our series this December, Common Sense for the Silly Season. We're talking about Christmas and the real meaning of Christmas. And the meaning of this for us, for you, is huge. This is huge stuff. Because it means he knows what it is like to be hungry. And he knows what it is like to be thirsty, comes up later on in John. He knows what it is like to be tired and weary, John chapter 4. Do any of you feel tired and weary right now? Anyone struggling to kind of get out of bed as we sort of get near the end of December? He knows about that. He knows what it is like to be betrayed. He knows what it is like to have one of your loyal friends turn their back on you, if you've ever experienced that. He knows what it's like to be in your hour of need and to be left. He knows what it is like to feel the weight of family responsibility. That comes up later on in John 2. He knows what it is like to lose a loved one. He knows what it is like to be unemployed, to be mocked, to be bullied, to be abused at the hands of people who are supposed to be in charge. We're talking about Christmas. We're saying, how do you find meaning in the middle of it? And the application of this is massive because he knows. When you are tired and you feel like you can't go on, you can actually say, you can say, Lord, you know. And he does. When you are betrayed and left alone and your friends aren't there, you can say, Lord, you know. When you've lost a loved one, Lord, you know. Are you struggling with your health right now? He knew what it was like to have all the limitations of human body. Lord, you know. Is Christmas a really lonely time for you? He knows the depths of loneliness and being left. As I said before, if Christmas does feel like there's some sort of meaning there and you're really trying to tap into the meaning and you're really trying to understand what is the meaning of Christmas, if that's you, you are, well, you've come to the right place and you're on the right track. There is a deeper meaning. There is a deeper meaning for us here. First of all, the Word. Second, has become flesh. But is that it? Is that all there is to it? Jesus just sort of came to be with us in our personal worries, kind of put his arm around our shoulder and say, I know, is that all there is to it? There's one more quick thing. The Word became flesh to give us grace and truth. Not just be with us in our struggle, but give something to us, grace and truth. So let's have a look at this verse again. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth means telling us who we really are, telling us what we've really done, telling us what we are really like. Let's be honest. The busyness of Christmas can sometimes be quite an excuse to paper over the cracks of our life. Relationship problems, things I've been doing that I do not want to do, but I continue to do them. Things I should have done, and I know I should have done it, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to. Christmas busyness can paper over the cracks of all of that. Jesus comes and he speaks the truth, and he calls you to come and live in the truth, to acknowledge who you are, to acknowledge what you've done, to stand before him. The truth from Jesus, from God for you, that is massive. That is worth its weight in gold. That is more precious than rubies to have that truth about yourself. But it's not just the truth and that's it. Leave you to it. Sorry. No, there's more. He came to give us grace and truth. What is grace? We sometimes teach people in our house grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, a gift to us, a gift of compassion, a gift of kindness, actually a gift of forgiveness. Tells us the truth, and then he forgives us, and he gives that to us for free. John will call it eternal life, and it's for all who believe in the Word become flesh, eternal life. won't you receive Jesus this Christmas? That actually is what John is calling you to do, to believe in him and to receive him. Look to Jesus as he really is, God's word. Live in the light of his truth and receive his grace. Live in the light of his truth and receive his forgiveness for you right now, his eternal life for the future right now. Won't you receive Jesus? All who receive Jesus, he gives the right to become children of God. The Christmas carols that we sing, great words. The message here, the Bible readings we've been hearing tonight, is great. Won't you receive the message there that's been put before you? So anyway, Christmas time, time to ask big questions, a time to look for big answers, a time to think deeply. Won't you do that? Let me pray that we will. Lord, we just thank you so much for Jesus. Though he was eternal and he was glorious, he became like us and he knows all the things that we go through. We thank you so much for him, Lord. We also thank you that he came to tell the truth about who we are, but then to give us the grace that we need to be forgiven. May all here in this room receive him and look to him and believe in him this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.